Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
To me, a kingdom scripture, 3 John 2, I say 3 John 1 and 2, but it's only one chapter in 3 John. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prosper. 3 things, that's a kingdom scripture. That's why we're a kingdom ministry, because we address all 3. We address prosperity, we address health, and we address even as thy soul prosper. We teach you how to grow spiritually. We teach you how to succeed in life through prosperity and money management, the law of seeding and sowing, and how to be accountable in your banking accounts and how to balance your banking checks, how to prioritize. We teach you. We go into detail about how to go into detail about this. Some people don't know how to save a dollar. Some people don't understand the value of a coupon. Some people don't understand the generic prices may be a little bit more affordable than getting all name brands. Some people need to know that maybe you need to switch up your grocery store. Shopping at Publix or Whole Foods, where you only get 6 items for $40, where you can go to a mom-and-pop grocery store, maybe Walmart, and you can get a lot more items for that same price. Matter of fact, go to Aldi. Teaching you how to be a smart consumer, how to balance your budget so that you can now set yourself up for prosperity. We teach on your health through the Word of God. This is all that we get out of the Word of God. You can't come on this line and keep asking, oh, I need prayer, I need a miracle. The doctor said my blood pressure, I could have had a stroke, or my high glucose numbers, I'm a diabetic, and all this, and I got this, and I got flare-ups on my skin, and blah, blah. Well, let's address your health. What are you eating? What are you not eating? What is your exercise? You can't tell me you got high blood pressures, and every night before you go to bed, you consume some pickles, and you consume some beef jerky, and you consume some chips, and you consume some chitlins, and you consume ham hocks, and I mean all of that. Your sodium content is out of this world. Yes, you're going to have high blood pressure. I was telling my spiritual daughter the other day, I said, God, he'll give us grace when we have ignorance. Ignorance just means you don't know. But one thing I know for a fact God has zero tolerance in is stupidity.
That's right.
What is stupidity? What is the difference between ignorance and stupidity? Ignorance means you don't know. He cannot charge you with something you don't know, honestly. But stupidity is the acknowledgement that you need to learn about something, and you still choose through your laziness, through your apathy, that you do not want to make yourself aware with that information. You need to know better. You acknowledge, I know I need to learn how to eat better, but, you know, I don't have time. And then you stupidly continue to consume foods that are not right for you. And you wonder why your body's finally giving out. And now you need a miracle. And God will give you a miracle. It's according to his grace. But most of the time he will. But then after you get the miracle, because people have done that. There was somebody on the line whose sugar was 500. Now, mind you, the range is supposed to be between 70 and 120, something like that. His sugar was 500 on the line. The Lord gave him a miracle. His sugar went down to normal range instantly. But I talked to him, and I said, let me tell you something. You want to maintain your miracle, you better learn how to treat your vessel right. It's time to get active. It's time to also, when you get active, it's time to match it with the appropriate diet. So we teach on these things at KCI. To me, if you belong to a ministry that's only teaching you the word, but they don't want to use the word to help you in your finances, they don't want to use the word to help you with your health, I would very, very much just tell you to pray about staying at that ministry. Or perhaps Pray that God will use you as an instrument to birth out the other dimensions of the kingdom of God. Because God is all about his word. Oh, yes. But he wants you to use his word to do the commandment of what? Thou mayest prosper, the commandment that you may possibly be in good health if you apply the word of God, and even as your soul prospers. But you may be hearing this message saying, you know what, we don't have that in my ministry, but I may be the tool, the reason why, and I can help bring that in. I believe it's appropriate to bring doctors in and have them talk to you about your health. I believe it's appropriate to have other people come in and teach you about how to have safety, how to have, I believe it's a wonderful, matter of fact, that should be the platform that they speak on to God's people. I was reading an article, they said 48% of those of people that file bankruptcy are Christian believers. So I believe there's a problem with that. We don't want to talk about money in the church. We don't want the word of God to correct us in all areas, but yet we're the ones that are suffering from poor health and one from mismanagement of our money. There's an issue with that. That's not true kingdom living. The word of God is here to correct you, to instruct you, to bring forth reproof in righteousness. You've got to look to the word of God. The word of God, number six, will solve every battle. Every battle. Every battle that you're in. Doesn't matter. Money, health, relationship, career, doesn't matter. Every battle, the word of God has something in there for you. Something in there for you. The Bible talks about how he'll make you wiser than your enemies. A lot of us on here need wisdom. I'm always seeking more wisdom. Always seeking more wisdom. I know that there will be another, there won't be another one as wise as Solomon, but I said, Lord, I'm going to come very close to him. Watch it. I'm coming very close to him. I'm getting imparted wisdom. I'm sowing it to wisdom. I'm speaking and asking like the Bible says. And anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask. He'll give freely. I'm at eye because you need wisdom in this life. And I definitely, if you have a lot of haters, everybody talking about let them hate, let them hate. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going to have haters no matter what, but are you working to become smarter than your haters? You don't believe me? This is what the Word of God says. Write it down. Psalms 119:98. This is of the Lord. Psalms 119:98. This is the Word of God. He says, thou through thy commandment hast made me wiser than mine enemies. The commandments of God in the Word of God, or I just say the principal teaching in the Word of God, will make you wiser than your enemies. If you trip me up one time, guarantee you're not going to trip me up a second time. I'm going to become wiser instantly. A lot of times with the body of Christ, we don't allow the Word of God to help us learn through the trial so that we don't find ourselves there. My thing, my motto, and my husband and I, when we have a heated discussion, or some of you all say an argument, we call it a heated discussion. So when my husband and I have those disagreements, at the end of every disagreement, once we've, you know, kind of mold it out, I say, now what can we do better next time that we don't end up in the same spot again? Because in my mind and in my husband's mind and the vision for our marriage, I shouldn't have the same argument or about the same topic twice. We aim to move forward each and every time. Each and every time we aim to get mature and grow over and out of whatever that topic caused us to bump heads from the first place. You should be the same way. Your relationship with your children, with your spouse, whatever it is, even on the job with coworkers, especially if you are a coworker, that would impress your boss. Be solution driven. If something happened on the job, a situation, you know, occurred through a program or project, and if you recognize that that's a habitual thing that, seems to happen often, come with solutions and say, you know what, Mr. Supervisor, Ms. Supervisor, I've noticed that this has been a continual thing, and here are a few suggestions of how we can stop ending up in the same predicament time and time again. They'll be impressed. You know why? Because people love solution-driven individuals. It's easy to point out what the problem is. Well, he don't do this. She doesn't do this. She talks too much. He does that. He did not. And it's easy to find a problem. But not very few people are wise enough to discern that they need solutions in this life. And some people are just prone to just being drawn to drama. Some of you all know some people like that. They like drama. But people like that, please stay away from them, because they'll bring drama to your front door each and every time. But
that's right.
I surround myself with solution-driven individuals. Don't come to me with problems. Don't tell me what you think the problem is with my money. Come with me. You know, you got some people like that. They'll highlight everything that's going wrong in your ministry. They'll be there to sit back and they'll commentate. But in the same breath, they won't issue a solution. If you see a problem, take it to God and say, Lord, give me a witty invention. Give me some type of wisdom. Give me something that will help me give them a solution to help solve this problem. You should do that. You should judge people how they come to you. People that always can isolate a problem in your marriage or your child rearing. Always got something to say how you raise your kids, how you're disciplining your kids, but they don't want to come with some type of solution. They don't want to come giving you a book. They don't want to come giving you an article. Hey, I thought about you. Remember you told me about how, you know, little Johnny doesn't listen to you and he tends to want to get so angry and he slams stuff. Well, listen, I got this book for you. Maybe it'll be something for you. You want people who will come to you with solutions. And now and you want to be a person that gives solutions as well. I'm very solution-driven. I teach for those of you all that want to be a part of this ministry and those of you all that are a part of this ministry, this is how we teach you how to be a leader. Should you get the opportunity to go before the people and preach, don't just isolate a problem. Don't just tell me that I have a spirit of Jezebel without giving me a solution to how to get rid of it or recognize it or get it out the church. Don't just tell me I have a spirit of lust or even, as Dr. Pastor Tabak used her as example, she taught on like the common class spirit of food, fear. Don't just tell me how you have an issue, but what did she do? She gave you solutions afterwards. You want to identify the problems and you want to say, here's a solution. For me, example, I started off talking about problems. We all have them, no matter what, crisis, unwarranted, and those that you know that are going to come warranted. But you also need a solution. This is how you do it. For those of you all that may not be in crisis now, that may not be in the crisis now, you're getting it ready to gear up and get into one. That's the evolution of this life. For those of you all, let me give you some quick revelation. For those of you all that are taking notes, draw three arrows and make it in a circle. So you got one arrow that's curving to the right. You got another arrow that's kind of curving underneath to the right. You know, you got all these arrows that are going around that's going to make a circle. So if you write it in a circle and you go from right to left, It supports the circle of life, the cycle of life. In your life, you're either on your way into a trial, you're in a trial, or you've just gotten out of a trial. That's pretty much the extent of our life here. Now, in between those gaps or where those arrows connect, you're going to have good times. It won't all be sad. You're going to have some good times. You might get married. You might have a child. You're going to go to some good gatherings where you laugh, eat some good food. You may take a vacation. But it's always going to be a trial. Why? Because God is always going to be testing us. He's always going to be reproofing us, correcting us, instructing us. He's going to be testing our character. He's going to be stretching us out of our comfort zone. That's what he does. He challenges our hearts. That's what the Word of God says. A lot of times people don't even understand what the Word of God says. They will talk about our leadership skills and how we train, and they say, you know, you're just always challenging. I said, I have the permission to, because that's what the Word of God says. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. It talks about how God is the challenger of our heart. He tests our heart. And it's not just for sinners. He's talking about specifically. He said those that have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel so that we speak not to please man but to please God who tests our heart. I've got to test you. I've got to present challenges because that's what's going to make you. God's going to do it. He's going to test you. If it's not your marriage, it's your children. If it's not your children, it's money. If it's not your money, it's your career. If it's not your career, it's something that's going to be always challenging you because he's trying to get something out of you. What does challenges and trials do? Romans 5:3-5 talks about that, how it brings about. It's three things I'm going to get that right now for you. Romans, you can write that down, 5:3-5. It talks about the importance of trials. And it talks about how you have to glory. And I know that's easier said than done, but you've got to develop in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. The Word of God solves every battle. Number 6, the Word of God solves every battle. So you got to be able to go through using the Word of God, and the Word of God instructs you to glory in all tribulation, because the tribulation is going to help you work patient. And then after the patient has developed, he's going to give you experience. And then after the experience, he's going to give you hope. And hope in this situation is synonymous with the testimony. In order to tell somebody about what God can do, how he can bring you out, you got to have went through it. I know what it's like to hold on to the Word of God, but let me tell you something. I begin to profess the Word of God. I begin to give him glory. I begin to receive the ministering angels that gave me strength. And I'm telling you that when I glory in the tribulation, I got patience. I begin to wait on God. What are you going to do? I wait on the Lord. When I wait on the Lord and I got patience, I got experience. You can respect somebody that's been through something. You can respect somebody. If I never had any experience or anything, my credibility would be kind of shallow. I wouldn't have this many people on the line right now listening to my very word. Our ministry wouldn't have touched so many people worldwide. But I've been through
something. Amen, that's right.
I know what it's like to go with that. I know what it's like to be hurt. Crying on your knees because your heart is broken. I know what it's like. And in the same breath, I never, never will forget. I was crying. I have been rejected, talked about, people made lies on me. And it was not true. I was in my first time going through that years ago. I was on my knees in the living room crying out to God. It was a horrible cry. You know those horrible cries? You know, you have those cute cries where you just, oh, Lord, and, you know, you still look cute, and you almost want to take a selfie because you look cute while you're crying. But then you got those ugly cries. You got those ugly cries where you almost get choked on your saliva. The snot comes out of your nose and now enters your mouth. Those ugly cries. I was boo-hooing, crying. Why I was crying. And I was telling the Lord how much it hurt. Oh, God, it hurt. And I remember finally when I started blowing my nose and I calmed down. My blood pressure probably was high. My eyes were red, everything. The Lord, I remember, whispered to me, and this is good. This is good teaching, so you all know. I remember the Lord whispered to me ever so quietly. He said, "Are you finished?" And I was like, "Are you kidding me? I'm your daughter. I'm on the floor crying. I'm not knowing that I'm in pain. And you respond sarcastically?" He said, "Are you finished?" And he went on to say, he said, "April, you are stronger than you realize. You have untapped strength and the ability to carry this." He said, "I am with you." He said, "No harm shall come to thee. But you got to go through this." And I said, "Am I?" He said, "Are you dead?" I said, "I guess I'm not dead." He said, "Are you in the hospital? You talking about how you're going to have a heart attack and you're stressed?" He said, "But I've kept your heart. You've not had a stroke. You've not had a heart attack. All these things that you said you were going to do, it has not happened." I said, "I guess you called my bluff, God." And I begin to walk in strength. And ever since then, each time I've become stronger and stronger to the point where now, like I told you earlier, when people talk about me, when they call me witch and warlike, when they lie on me, when they disowned me because they failed to recognize God's hand on me because we are unorthodox ministry, when they call me mean because they're immature and they don't understand that I'm strict because I'm a trainer. This is an apostolic training center. So your usual excuses and reasons why you can't do something will not fly with me. I'm always going to catch you up in your excuse, and I'm going to prove to you that you can do it. So when people don't want to grow up, even though with their mouth they may say, I love the Lord, I'm sold out, I'll sacrifice everything, and then when I tell them what the Lord is saying and I prove it in the Word of God, then they want to say, you mean, you don't know, you're a Jezebel, you're a witch, you don't, God doesn't operate like that. You're unlearned. You sound ignorant. You don't know the Word of God. You don't know how God uses his. Read about Ezekiel. He had to sleep on his side for days. He had to do some. Let me just say this. He had to do some things with feces. He had to cook his food. I believe theology say on with feces or on top of feces. I mean, he had to. Can you imagine God telling you to cook your
the word?
Give away the butter, give away the olive, don't use salt, don't you use that pepper, don't you use that fat back. I need you to go outside to the dog park, scoop up about 3 big pounds of boo-boo, and I'm going to need you to cook your food on that. A lot of times we don't know God. A lot of people, be weary of those people. They're so quick to tell you what God will do and what God won't do. Tell them to read their word. You don't even understand how God raises leaders because he got to make them strong. Why? Because we have an adversary. This
Amen.
Kill, steal, and destroy you.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.